the bright way for us, how you gave yourself so complete. Please be seated.
Today's Bible reading is from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and declaring to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to the Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown." The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, for the greatness to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger, so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned away from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of God.
Amen. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, open our eyes that we may see and hear wondrous things from your word this morning, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're slowly but surely traveling through the book of Jonah. We've looked at the first two chapters, and we remember that God wanted to save a city, Nineveh. It was a great but wicked city. It was a city that was in countdown to judgment, the countdown of wickedness of life, and in many ways prophetic fulfillment. It was only 6 weeks before the prophecy came to fruition. 6 weeks until destruction. So God raised up a prophet, a reluctant prophet by the name of Jonah. And he was called, chosen, and to go and preach to the Ninevites a sermon of judgment, but also of God's grace and compassion. But what did he do? He ran away. He decided to flee, to run away from God. He was then swallowed by a fish. And then, as we look at our passage this morning, we notice in verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Now, the second call came to Jonah after failure and discipline. So many things about Jonah's response to God's call were wrong. He wasn't a stupid man, he was quite an intelligent man and a good communicator, a good preacher. But his attitude was wrong. He chose self-will. But despite God's chastening and discipline, he was indeed willing and able to run away from the clear message that God had laid on his heart. You see, the storm was no accident. The great fish was no accident. But Jonah was constantly, in his travels, being disciplined by God. But God's grace reaches those who have failed. We notice through the Bible how God gave so many people a second chance. Samson would return and regain his strength. Peter, even though he wept because of his denials, became eventually the spokesperson of the church. And the great truth throughout the book of Jonah is God will meet you where you are. We can never run away from God. We've looked at that over the last two sessions. We can never do that. And we will let God down. But there is such a thing as God's grace and compassion, and we're able to repent and come back into the fold of God's loving grace and loving relationship. But of course, we notice today that Jonah goes to Nineveh a second time, and indeed we notice what I would call a great revival in this particular city. And I believe we need revival in the United Kingdom and throughout the world today when we look at the state, the moral state of our nations. And we need it quite a bit. But as we look at chapter 3 this morning, all but briefly, what brought revival to the city of Nineveh? God gave Jonah a second chance, and off he goes. We notice in our passage, then the word of God came to Jonah a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. But what brought about revival to the city of Nineveh? What brought about repentance? Well, there were three things which I want to share with you this morning. Number one, it was the preaching of Jonah. It was actually Jonah doing what God wanted him to do. The preaching of Jonah, which we see in verses 3 and 4. Jonah approaches the city, a city which was 60 miles in round. It had 600,000 people. It had walls 100 feet high. It was a big city. But Jonah was obedient this time round, and he preached the word of God. But there was a lot of wickedness in the city. People were preoccupied with sinful pursuits. But Jonah was an earnest preacher. His experience was fresh. What he was sharing with the people was something new, life-changing, life-transforming. It was a message of hope, as is our gospel message. Jonah was an earnest preacher. It was a message of coming judgment, a message of limited opportunity, because they had 40 days. It was plain, it was powerful, and it was very personal. Because Jonah knew that God was serious with that message, and God was sincere. So the way he communicated it challenged the people of that time. And Jonah's faith also was quite contagious. We see that in the early church, don't we? Especially in the book of Acts, with Paul and Peter and all the other preachers. It wasn't just telling people about the love and compassion of grace of God. They oozed it. It was in their persona. It was in their personality. And so it is and was with Jonah. Jonah's faith was contagious. It was almost like, I want something of that. I want some of that. People were listening and people were responding. I go back to the point I've made so many times. It was an evil, wicked city. All sorts of inhumane things happened there. It was a horrible place. But Jonah preached the word of God with so much faith, which was plain, so he understood it, powerful and personal. And the second thing that brought revival to the city of Nineveh, the second truth really, was not only the preaching of Jonah in verses 3-5, but the repentance of the king in verses 6-7. And this was key. This was key. The people believed God, but now this reaches to the king, who was a nasty bit of stuff anyway. It's a very interesting portion of scripture here. Sometimes it's hard for the privileged to express wrongdoing. We see it often, don't we, in the New Testament, the rich young ruler. And in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, we notice Felix. Let me read that passage to you. As Paul preached on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough for now. You may leave." In other words, I don't want to hear anymore. He was being challenged. He was a rich man. He was a ruler, if you like, in authority. But when Paul preached the word of God, Felix, it challenged him. It challenged him. And in King Agrippa, in Acts 26, verse 28, King Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian." And so it is with the king in our portion of scripture today. He was privileged. He was rich. He was evil. He wasn't a very nice character. But God broke through. God broke through. And that's very interesting. Because some ways repentance is unusual to the rich and powerful. Because the rich and powerful, they feel they got everything. They don't need anything. They got money, they got property, they got everything, kingdoms. And it's very interesting when God breaks through into the heart of a rich and powerful king or person. But we notice the king's discovery. Riches were not enough. He needed righteousness. Power was not enough. He needed peace. Servants were not enough. He needed salvation. And the king's penitence moved the whole city to repentance. It started at the top. People were listening to God on grassroots level. They were listening and repenting, and we noticed sackcloth and ashes and everything mentioned in our portion of the scripture. But it started from the top. As soon as they saw the king had repented, the king had thrown himself to God, against God, then the city changed. So what brought revival to the great city of Nineveh? Jonah's initial preaching, the repentance of the king. But we finish with verses 8 to 10, the prayers of the people. Look at verse 8. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let everyone call urgently on God. I wonder how often we do that. I wonder how urgent our prayers are. Or are we praying sort of along the line of, in your own time, Lord, you know, when it's convenient, if you can hear my prayer and respond to it. It doesn't have to be like now. I know I'm paraphrasing, probably being a little bit silly here. But they prayed with urgency. And I wonder when we get down to pray for whoever, the church, people, friends, family, countries abroad, missionaries, whatever. I wonder if we pray urgently and with a real burden in our hearts. I wonder when the last time in prayer we've been reduced to tears because with compassion and love, we really want to see God move. I wonder when it was the last time we asked God to bring revival to Barnet and to the United Kingdom. Because there are a lot of hardened hearts out there, a lot of people that criticize the church and Christians and want to water down the Christian message. All our morals are collapsing. All our morals are collapsing. And we need to say to God, God, come and do a mighty act of revival. They were crying unto God. Do you remember that wonderful verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14? Can you remember it? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. These people in Nineveh, they were a straying people, vacillating, going in all different kinds of different directions, doing so many evil things. But they stopped straying and started praying and soon saw that God's answered their prayers. From committing sin to confessing sin, and the ingredient without which no revival has ever come, it caused the city to be spared and delivered from destruction. So Jonah did well, didn't he? He was obedient in the sense that he preached and people listened. The city was transformed. The king was absolutely transformed, changed. He did well, didn't he? We might as well close the whole book of Jonah now. But then we've got chapter 4. And there we look at Jonah's anger. But even then, the Lord's compassion and grace. We'll be looking at chapter 4 in a couple of weeks' time. But let's pray, and pray for revival. Pray that God will change people's hearts, minds, and souls as we seek his face. Let's pray now. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are indeed a God of grace and compassion. We thank you, Lord, for the world in which we live. We thank you, Lord, for our community. our towns, our villages, our streets, our roads. And we thank you, Lord, for the people that make up our community. And we pray, Lord, for the lives that we come into contact with every single day of our lives. And Father God, we pray that every day you will give us fresh opportunities, not only, Lord, to be Jesus, but, Lord, to spread the gospel. But not only that, Lord, to pray with urgency, to look out, Lord, for prayer and to pray into difficult situations. We pray, Lord, for our country, for our government, Lord, and all the decision-making that they have to do, which affects ourselves at grassroots level. We pray, Lord, for Christians in Parliament, that they will stand and indeed stand up for their faith and know what is true and just. But Lord, we want to pray that you will come down by your power into your Holy Spirit power and bring repentance, Lord, to this country and this world. May we all be Jonahs, Lord, in many ways, not that we fail you, but that we use every opportunity to share Christ. And so, Lord, be with us, we pray, as we start and begin a new week, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to have the children, young people. We're going to sing I Am a New Creation, because that's basically the hymn of Nineveh post-preaching. There were a lot of new creations around. So we'll stand. Would anybody like, we call them banners, but they're streamers really, aren't they? So would anyone like one? Hey. Yeah, okay. Amen. That's it, great. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. There we are. Hey, great stuff. All this running around made me tired.